Christmas season is remarkably known for joy, and when we see each other, we bless each other and say, "Happy holiday and Merry Christmas." And but then usually I like to say peace and joy because peace and joy is a complete package. As in fact, peace actually is more important than joy. Have you not noticed that? And that's why people usually bless each other and say peace. And even to the people who pass away, they die, you go to the cemetery, you see a lot of R.I.P. You know what that means? Rest in peace. So even for the dead people, we'll wish them peace. So why is peace so important? Have you thought about that? I can tell you, a lot of times something is very hard to explain, but you can look at it from the other side. It's very hard to explain to you the value and the power of having peace, but I think it can help you to understand when you don't have peace. So think about a moment that you heard about a terrorist attack, a massive terrorist attack, and you have a loved one happen to be in that area, and you have not been able to reach this person, and you haven't heard from him or her. You're not going to have peace. You have worry. Or when you go to the doctor's office, you're waiting for the result from your biopsy, waiting for the doctor to tell you whether you have cancer or not. That's anxiety. That's without peace. Or a lot of us, actually, we live with fears. Some of us fear that you're losing your job, especially when you come to Christmas season. Some of us will fear to lose a family member, which would happen. We just don't know when it's going to happen. Young people, you have fear that you don't know what your future is going to turn out, or whether you're going to marry the wrong person or not. And these are all lack of peace. And worse yet, the worst way of not having peace is restlessness. Have you been restless before? Like you cannot tell why that you cannot rest. You cannot be still. No matter how hard you try, you can't even sleep well. You're lying there, but your brain just keep churning. Your mind just keep raising. And you want to slow down, you just can't. Have you tried it? You feel like a engine is about to overheat, but you can't turn it off. It's a very, very gruesome feeling. We all want to live a happy life and have joy. But I can tell you, without peace, you cannot have joy. And without peace and joy, it doesn't matter what you have. Money, your status, fame, we all care about how we look. But at that moment, your physique, your social status, nothing is going to be important to you. I think you can agree to that statement. So peace is very important. But how can we find peace? How do we find peace? And that's why in today's passage is very interesting. In today's passage, Isaiah chapter 9 and the verse 6, we've been studying this verse for the last month. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to the people he had chosen. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and very important, "Prince of Peace." Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come to be the Prince of Peace, to bring us peace. True peace is found only in Christ and through Christ. Let me repeat. True peace is found only in Christ and through Christ. For example, King Ahaz is the king. The context of this passage, they were under the threat. They were under a tremendous foreign threat. The alliance between Syria and northern nation Israel were threatening their security and safety decades ago. So he was trying to find peace. He brought in another nation, Assyria, to come and help to remove the imminent threat. So he was able to find peace for a moment. But then he brought in a bigger threat, Assyria into the picture. And when this passage was spoken, there was a time they were under tremendous threat from Assyria at the time. See, the peace that we've tried to manufacture and try to find on our own is not true peace, because like King Ahaz, he simply deferred the threat of replacing the threat with another. Being Prince of Peace, Jesus said, in John chapter 14, 27, he said, "The peace that I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives you, gifts do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What Jesus is saying is, being Prince of Peace, the peace that he is giving us is the true peace. It's very different from the peace that we can find in the world on our own. Let me explain to you why. Without Jesus, without Christ, we're all going to try to find peace. But then we all try to use our human schemes. And we try technology, philosophy, education. We try everything, all the resources given by the world. And for example, for those of us, like right now, America, we fear national security, so what do? We try tougher legislation. We try to use gun control. We brought in a tougher anti-terrorism laws and measures. Can that really give us peace? I doubt it. The violence still happens. And then if you are stressed out by your workplace environment, what do? You try to find peace. Some of you try to take a vacation. Or you try to transfer from one department to another. Or you try to find another job. You try to find peace by doing that. Or some of you, you fear of physical threats. What do? You see a strange, unrecognizable car park in your in the front, on the back door at night, you call the police. It keep happening like that, you move to a better neighborhood. And those of you, if you are facing a straining relationship, it's causing a lot of conflict, you cannot find peace, what do? You go for counseling, or you try to find another partner. And those of us that we are concerned about health issues, we go to the doctor and see if we can fix the problem. And that's how we find peace, without Jesus Christ, by the worldly measures. It's not the true peace, you know why? Because it is avoidance. It's by trying to take away the conflict, avoiding the situation or deferring it. And you know what? It doesn't work all the time. It's called kicking the can down the road, because very soon we will find that we cannot take away all our problem and remove all our stress. We will just find out that we can run away from one problem to another one. We just come one storm, and another one is looming and coming, because life is just like taking a voyage through the stormy sea. We all face life storms. You can't avoid it. King Ahaz was a very good example. So he could find a temporary peace, but it just generated a greater threat later on, and he could not, this peace that would not last long. So if we try to find peace by controlling the surroundings, we are basically bringing so-called a superficial and temporary peace, and doesn't really help our inner being, our inner peace. And we even try, let's say you try military strength, like right now the America have been very good for that. If somebody tried to threaten us, we bomb them. We send armies. Or we try diplomatic negotiation. You know what? It will temporarily fix the problem, but the real problem is still there, and eventually it can still, if that's the way that you try to find peace, you are not going to have peace. And money and power, I'm telling you, some people, they think that they can make a lot of money. You have some influential power. You can find peace. Money and power alone cannot give you peace. Because I know so many people, so many noble people, wealthy people, they don't even have peace in their own household. Their fight within the house is really, really ugly. the peace that we can find in the world only work under certain conditions. There's so many restrictions, and doesn't last long. That's why I call that it's not the true peace. Now, the true peace is found only in Christ and only through Christ. And that's why he's called the Prince of Peace. This kind of peace does not require a certain working conditions. It does not require us to avoid conflicts and stresses. And that's good because you know why? The Bible tells us that a man is born to troubles as surely as a spark rises upward. That means we are going to face trials and difficult times. No one is immune from it. Whether you're rich or poor, noble or outcast, you're healthy or sick, Christians or non-Christians, no difference. As long as you are in this world, this crooked and corrupted world, as long as you're in a stormy sea, you will face storms. The way to find true peace is not to avoid the storms. The way to find true peace is how to find peace when you are facing the storms. And Christ can help us because he's the Prince of Peace. And that's why the peace that he's giving us, I call it the true peace, because you can still have peace regardless of your situation and your circumstances. And how does it work? Okay, this is how it works. First of all, peace in Christ begins with peace with God. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Do you realize that every single time when you sin, you are actually sinning against God? Because you're sinning against his will. He has an intended will and purpose for every single one of us, how we should conduct our life. He's our creator. If you violate that, you work against that, you're working against his will. You are working against him. So every single time when you sin, when we slander somebody, when we hurt somebody, we are sinning not only against this person, we are sinning against God. And those who sin against God, we call sinners. And the Bible also calls these are the enemies of God. So how can you have peace when you are enemy of the most powerful person in the universe? Those of you working, you know that, right? How can you find peace when you go when you first day you come to the work and you find out that you created enemy out of your CEO of the company? You're not going to be able to find peace. Every single day you feel like you're living on edge, that you don't know when he's going to get you. But in Christ, the Bible said, we are justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, Christmas, it means more than Jesus was just born. Jesus born to die. He's going to die and pay for our debt, to reconcile our relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. And once our sins are forgiven, we are no more fear. We're not enemies of God anymore. And that is a basics, very fundamental foundation of the peace that we can have. But there's more. Peace in Christ is also give us the peace with the self. It's called inner peace. We feel complete. No more fear. It's more than no more fear. We feel that we are complete. We are whole. And that's why the Hebrew word called shalom. The shalom kind of peace is more than no more conflict. It means you have to be there to realize it. You are so content that nothing is going to bother you anymore. Now, and this is how it works too. This peace comes from the assurance of a very privileged identity that we can find in Christ and only in Christ. Because in Christ, we all become children of God. And now, we say it all the time in the church. And sometimes we say it just too hastily and you don't appreciate it. Let me tell you why it's so powerful. Because those of you who work very hard, you're all hardworking. You're Chinese, you're all hardworking. Those of you in school, you all go work. You'll have a lot of workload. You take AP classes. Everybody's shooting for what, 4.5 GPA? 4.0 is not good enough for you. Right? And in Chinese, you all want to have more alphabets after your name, more title. You want to be somebody. You know what? You realize that you work so hard because you are trying to prove that you are somebody. When you introduce yourself to somebody and say, I am so-and-so, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I'm a professional, da-da-da-da-da. When you have some of you, if you don't have those alphabets, or in addition to those alphabets, you look at how much money you have in your bank account. I don't know how many of you actually pull up and look at your bank account every night. Some of you do. I used to. It give me some kind of gratification, like I'm a self-made. Right? You feel good. You are somebody. Or some of you feel good about your affiliation. A college, those of you students, you go to a good college, you buy their, what's it called that? A jacket, right? With a big name behind it. If you go to college, it's not that much, you don't care about that jacket. But it's a brand name jacket, you buy one for everybody. For your parents, everybody you know, here, you go. Because I'm foot, you know? You want to be somebody. The problem, if your identity, if you want to prove who you are based on what you have accumulated, what you have earned, what you have achieved, that's not true peace. You know why? It's like drinking salty water and try to quench your thirst. When you get it, you want more because this is somebody become nobody. You want to be somebody better than this particular body. And also, you are so afraid of losing your achievement too. Have you thought about that? The more money you have, the more worry you have. I don't know how many of you invest in bitcoins. Nobody, I hope. Right? So you were very, very happy 3 weeks ago. And one day you become the most miserable person in the world. Right? So you want to ruin a person's life, give him a bitcoin. And win your life too. Because your peace is built on something that you can lose. If your peace is built on something you can lose, when you have it, it's going to add on to your anxiety, right? All right. It's like I used to work from paycheck to paycheck, and we cash our check. I was walking down my friend to a movie theater for movie, cheap movie. This is in the 70s, 80s. It's a lot of gangs. People will come up and rob you. The second, my friend heard there's a commotion on the other side. You know what happened? They come in, they would rob you with a gun. He immediately gave the money to me, like, hold it for me. And they gave me the money. So the money become burden, become a target of violence, and become your source of anxiety. I'm telling you, if your identity and self-worth, depending on the things that you accumulate, on something that you can achieve and earn, the more you have accumulated, the more you have to lose. So how can you find peace if you have so much to lose? The identity, the children of God, is given to us in Jesus Christ, and nobody can take it away. Nobody. Nothing to prove. We have nothing to prove. And that is one source of the peace. And the second thing is, we are giving this, in this peace given in Jesus Christ, is because we are given this assurance of our eternal destiny. Now, most of people here have fears. Young people, I know your fear because I was young before. The young people, your fear, your greatest fear is like, what's my future is going to turn out to be? Am I going to be a good engineer? Can I find a job? Am I going to be an accountant? Is accountant a good field? The college I applied to, would they accept me? Even if they accept me, can I make it? Can I graduate? And then you're going to start to worry about who are you going to marry? Because you don't want to marry the wrong person. Your parents keep telling you that. And then you have start to think about where to raise your family. And after that, you'll fear whether you're going to have children or not. When you have children, you're going to fear if your children could turn out to be good kids. Now, this is the fear for the younger people. When you go to a certain age, everything is already etched in stone. But then you have different fears. You're going to fear that everybody eventually will face the greatest fear is what? Everybody fear what? Death. Because death basically put a disruption on your life, and everything you have, you're going to lose it. Just talk to the, just think about this. If you have been just diagnosed in a late stage terminal disease, the doctor tells you that you have 3 months to live. And all of a sudden, you find that nothing around you become irrelevant. Everything you accumulate that you know that you're going to lose. And that's a very, very tough feeling for some people. The peace given in Jesus Christ is that death is no longer a threat. And everything that happened in this life is not going to be that important to you because it's only a journey. We all move to a better place. It's our heavenly destiny. When you know that, you are simply a sojourner in this world, and you have nothing to lose in this world. Nothing to prove, and nothing to lose. And that's peace. A friend of mine, I have a Christian friend, he had a heart attack when he was driving by himself on Highway 80 to Pennsylvania for an auto auction. He told me his experience. He said, "Donald, I thought that was it." I said, "What happened?" I said, "I was going 80 miles per hour on Highway 80. And then all of a sudden, I felt a tightness on my chest." I said, "What are you thinking, Dino?" You know? He said, "Well, I knew it was probably a heart attack." I said, "What was it?" He said, "A heart attack." I said, "How do you feel?" He said, "Well, I was thinking that's it. I'm driving 80 miles per hour on Highway 80 going west by myself. This is it." I said, "You have fear? You have regret?" He said, no. He said, "I tell my wife I love her every now and then. I told her everything I want already. I thought about her, but all I'm thinking is, Lord, I'm ready. I'm going to go to another place." No fear at all. Of course, he did not go yet. He's still around. But I'm telling you, that's the peace that Christ can give us, even in such a trialing, horrific situation. When you're facing death, you still have no fear. And then the peace from Christ, how it works? It works when we are facing difficulty and stormy situation, and you are assured. We are given the assurance of God's presence. Jesus is with us. The Bible verse we've been studying is that Jesus Christ is not just a baby. He's a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father. He's the most powerful person in the world, and he loves us. He promises that nothing is going to happen to us without his permission. It doesn't mean that we don't go through sufferings and loss. But because his intent is good, he said, "I got a plan for you, a plan of prosperity." So even though there are times that we are going through tough times, he allows it with a good intent for the good purpose for us to either strengthen our faith or maybe to discipline us from something that we did wrong. But most importantly, everything God allows to happen to us, we try to shape our character to be a better person, to be more like him. So thinking about that he's with us and he's bigger than anyone in this universe and he's so powerful and he loves you and you have nothing to fear. Now, I remember that there was a sister here called Mrs. Lamb. She came and shared a testimony years ago. She was 90 years old at that time, probably, and she had to go through a very risky heart surgery. So the surgeon was trying to sit her down and explain to her, have you talked to the surgeon before? They talk very, very carefully. Right? They try to hedge all bets. So they tell you the chances of the surgery, why are you doing it, da-da-da-da-da. So that was a very, very risky surgery. But the doctor was trying to all sort of wisdom and try to how to sugarcoat it and deliver it to Mrs. Lam. But Mrs. Lam just stopped him and say, look, you don't have to tell me. You don't know anything. If God wants me to go home, you cannot skip me. If he wants me to stay here to continue to be his witness, you can mess up big time. I can still wake up and walking around. He's God or you're not. So the surgeon said, okay, all right, I don't have to explain to you. And it was a very, very risky surgery. She came out all right, and she continued to glorify God for the next 10 years before she returned to him. You see, this peace is found, the true peace is found when we trust in God rather than we trust people, rather than we trust our own hands, rather than we trust technology. And also, in addition, the peace from Christ also works in giving us this inner peace by helping us to set free from our sinful desires. See, this is a different kind of peace here. Not from the outside, from inside. We all have these sinful desires that are driving us to do the thing that we don't want to do. Addictions, jealousies, hatred. Some people here struggle with self-pity or self-hate. And how can you have peace and joy when you don't feel good about yourself? When you hate yourself, when you hate your family, when you hate the people around you, or when you are addicted into something, alcohol, drugs, games, whatever. But Jesus, and he, by the whole power of the Holy Spirit, he can help us to restore and set free from our sinful desires. And I volunteer a lot of time back then in rescue centers. So I personally saw a lot of seemingly hopeless alcoholics or drug addicts, how they became sober without any medication, no medication at all. Because we believe in no medication, just Bible study and Christian counseling. And some of them actually turn out to become drug addiction counselors. And some even became chaplains and useful a vessel of God, even with the toughest addiction. Now, we also seen that also, you spend enough time in the church also, you will have the privilege to see a lot of people, to see a life change. An angry person become loving. A quick-tempered person become passionate and patient. A person who abuses family and become loving. And this is all because the peace of Christ that is working in their heart. And now, of course, Christ in peace also help us to have peace with one another. Because in the Bible said, Jesus is the Prince of Peace and he's our peace. He already broke down the wall of hostility. Just look at the Church of Living Grace. You look around, except for the families. Most of the people, you don't even know them before. You don't even know their background. And now you're sitting here peacefully. You can work together in harmony. You can praise God in unity. And that's because Jesus joined us all together. And Jesus said that by his peace can help turn the enemies into allies. You know why? Because if you're in Christ, if you are honoring him as your Lord, if the other person is also honoring him as Lord, Jesus living in me and in him, how can Jesus not going to fight with Jesus? You see that point? Right? If we are surrendering ourselves, then Jesus in me, I'm in him, and he's in you, you're in him. We're going to see eye to eye, because Jesus is going to draw us together. And at the end, At the end, we are longing for this world peace. We have UN, which is a joke. All right? Yeah, it is. I'm saying that because Donald Trump said it. We all know that he had not done really anything. What has he done? He's another place of people, just a lot of corruption is going on. The true peace can be found among nations when Jesus Christ returns. We call the Messianic Kingdom. Jesus is the Messiah. The Bible had promised that the kingdom is going to be on his shoulder. Not yet, here but not yet. One day, the kingdom, the government, will be on his shoulder. And at that time, you're going to see the peace that you never saw it before. Without gun control, without tougher legislature, because we all worship the same God. We all have the same peace and love flowing around us. That day will come. Not yet, because that's why we have to spread the gospel to the whole world. So what are we saying here? Why it is important to know Christ is the Prince of Peace? Because life is without troubles. But in Christ, he said, do not let your heart be troubled when you see troubles. In fact, having peace during difficult time is a salient mark for Christians, I'm telling you. Being able to find peace, to show peace, is a very good telling sign of a true Christian. So look at the Bible. The early disciples, the Paul and Silas, when they were put in jail, when their life is threatened, they had peace. They were able to sing praise, to worship. There are a lot of early church fathers, they were persecuted. They were able to find peace and joy when their life is threatened, when their belonging was taken away from them, to the point even that they were facing death. And I shared with you before that years ago, that when I took Jennifer to the CAT scan, when the doctor told her that she had a brain tumor, we saw this young girl singing praises. Young girl that she had numerous, what's the word for that? When you have a cancer, it comes back, all right? And she was praising God because she said, look, if God want me here, I'm here. So when you take me, I know that I'm be in a better hand, better place. That is the real peace that nobody can take away. And that's why every time when I see a person, they were able to show peace in during a difficult time. The first thing come to my mind, and a lot of time we'll ask this person, it will be, are you a Christian? Because only Christian can do that. I would say, are you a Christian? And most, if not all the time, the person will tell me, yes, I am. Praise the Lord. So that's why the Bible also said having peace at difficult time is the best way to witness for Jesus, for Christ. The theme of the church this year still is being an honorable vessel of Him, the honorable vessel of God. How can we be an honorable vessel if we're not able to show peace? When you're showing this peace, the Bible said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope and peace that you have, but do it in gentleness and respect. That's the most powerful way to share the gospel. To sum it up, I would say some of you probably wonder at this point and say, look, Pastor Donald, you have not really told me much I haven't heard in the church. If you've been to church long enough, you heard all this. Then you say, what problem? He said, why don't I experience this peace? It sounds so good. I've been baptized. I don't have it. Let me tell you, it's true and sad. A lot of people, Christ has come and give us peace, but not everyone has taken this advantage of this offer. Bear in mind, this peace is available only in Christ and through Christ. It's like an advertisement. It's only available, right? This peace is only available in Christ and through Christ. You cannot get it through internet. You cannot get it through Google or Amazon. It had to be in Christ and through Christ. So the first question you have to ask, are you in Christ? Have you surrendered yourself to follow Jesus? Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, then you haven't even signed up for this offer yet. You have not. It's here, but it doesn't involve you. Christmas is a party, but you have the invitation is sent out, but you have not answered the invitation. You're outside the party. But then you say, yes, I accepted the offer, I baptized N years ago. Well, secondly, then you got to understand the extent of the peace that you can enjoy is subject to the extent that you surrender before Jesus. Make sense to you? The extent of this peace that you can taste and enjoy is subject to the extent you surrender yourself to Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, you must deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me daily. Deny yourself. Follow me. That's what he's saying. It's because true peace is available only in Christ and through Christ. To be truly in Christ is more than baptism. In Christ means to abide in him. What does that mean? That means that you have to have a close relationship with him. Ask yourself, how much time you spend with him every day? How much time do you spend with him? Do you read his word at all? Do you spend time listening to his teaching? Your answer is no. Then you have no relationship with him. You have a nominal relationship with him, but you don't have a true relationship with him. If we take the true relationship with him to appreciate and receive his grace. And also the second question is, do you walk in steps with him? Meaning, learning his word and listening to his voice, but do you follow his directions? He's telling you this, to do that, do you follow at all? Because relationship is interactive. It's not one way. You need to have an interactive relationship to deepen the relationship. Then you can have this trust. For example, my grandson, Ryan, he's not the bravest person. He's not the bravest kid I have seen, put it this way. He's afraid of darkness. Every time when the room is a little bit dark, he say, "Hum, hum, hum." And then he was like, "Turn on the light, turn on the light." Right? So they turn on the light all the time. So I said, "No, this is not the solution." I said, "Ryan, it wastes too much electricity. Let's not turn it on." And then he will hold on to my hand. And then I will take him, walk him through the darkness purposely to teach him how to overcome the fear, holding my hand. And then I have two dogs, and you know that one of them is not too friendly. It's an 88, it's also almost a 90-pound dog. Her name is Penny. The name is Penny, but she's probably a bigger than a quarter. Ryan absolutely would be petrified before her because she's humongous. But then when he's hiding behind my back, between my legs, he would tease Penny. He would push me over, he would push me literally over to a Penny, and then he would go like, "Penny, Penny, Penny." He would tease her. He's not afraid of that threat because of me. And why would he trust me? Because the relationship we have. I think if I bring the carpenter or the landscaper come in here and say, "Ryan, you hold his hand," he say, "Oh no," right? So how do you build that up? It's a daily relationship. So you gotta ask yourself, are you walking in step with Jesus every day? Are you holding his hands? Or you're holding to your own hands? You'll keep looking in your own hands, which is nothing. Are you holding Jesus' hands? And then secondly, you have to be the peace available only through Christ. In Christ and through Christ. That means you have to trust him. I'm willing to let go of your problem and give it to him. Why do you want to hold on to it? A lot of time, we are so controlling that we want to control even our own problems. The Bible said, how do you give it to Jesus? By prayers. In everything, by petition, your anxiety, you live it up and give it to him. But those of you probably say, "I try that, I pray, and after prayer, I still don't have peace." How many of you have that feeling? You pray the prayer, and after that, you're still kind of like, ah. Well, you're not alone, because it happened to me quite often too. We are only human. And human is very controlling. We're not willing to give. Right? It's like when you see a new mom, you try that. You try to hold that newborn baby. Right? It's so cute. They try to give it to you, but they won't let go. Right? So you're like fighting with the newborn baby with her because she doesn't trust you. Until you tell her that, I got it. You can let go now. Right? And a lot of times they will insist on holding it along with you. A lot of times we do that with our own problems. Lord, can you see this and that and that? And Lord said, I heard, I got it. And then you're still walking with Jesus every single day with the problem. And Jesus said, you can let go now. But I said, no, I can't. Then you're not going to be able to find peace. You have to learn to let go. So I have to ask you, I'm telling you, true peace is found in Jesus. You can appreciate it when you face threats, uncertainties, or even dangerous situations. If you know that you have nothing to lose, you have nothing to prove, you have nothing to fear, because you belong to Jesus, you're holding on to him, and he's a wonderful counselor, he's a mighty God, he's everlasting Father, and he's Prince of Peace. Let go and find peace. Join me in prayer, please. Oh Lord, we thank you so much. You know our need. Without you, we really cannot find peace, but yet peace is so important for us to have good quality of life. Lord, you said that I have come and give you guys life and to its fullness. So Lord, we are looking for this abundant life. So I pray that you speak to every single one of us, Holy Spirit. Empower us, Lord, that we all know the truth intellectually. But a lot of time we cannot get it down to our heart and truly trust. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll empower us. One little baby step at a time, that which we'll be able to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ more and more. And may the Church of Living Grace is truly a church of living according to Christ's grace. And all we show overflowing from us will be peace and joy and become a very useful vessel of yours. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.